Amen. Thank you, Zach. That was awesome. Thank you. You know, God said to John, come up here. Come up here. I need to show you some things. And he gave us the great revelation. Of course, God called to Moses, said, come on up here. I need to show you some things here, Mo. Amen. We want to go to that higher, place. Code man, we ready to roll back there? All right, rock on. So I shared ever so briefly yesterday with the men about an incident I had 5 weeks ago mowing my grass. I can go to the exact spot on my lawn where I literally was tackled and pounded on by the Holy Spirit. Assaulted by the Holy Spirit. 5 weeks ago, that was the last time I cut my grass. It's been a little dry, and I haven't had time to cut it lately. Just don't have time. But I was prepping for our open house, to have you over to our house. It was a Tuesday, and I was cutting my grass. And the Holy Spirit tackled me and gave me a very firm directive. When I first heard, actually I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit 10 months ago, and dreaded for the time where I would have to be obedient to it. So I'm mowing my grass, and I'm on a northwest diagonal run. I'm heading back towards the hill, and just as I hit the end of the run and I'm going to pivot to go the other direction, I was waylaid by the Holy Spirit, jumped by the Holy Spirit, and he told me what he wanted me to preach. And I pretended that I didn't hear him. And not only did I pretend that I didn't hear him, but I also just said, no, thank you. Wheel the mower around, start going towards the east, and finish that diagonal cut and swing it to go back the other way. And when I got back to the end, and I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but I clearly heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, now I told you what to preach. Do you understand what I want you to do? I said, yes, I do. I've had the Holy Spirit speak to me on any number of times, and when he speaks firm to me and says, do you understand? Oh, I listen. And you know what's amazing? When I said, yes, I do, then immediately, and it's too bad Pastor Paulser isn't here to give the amen, because for me, when the Holy Spirit speaks something into my heart, 9 times out of 10, it's a torrent. It's a flood that comes to me. Now, I was on my mower, and I couldn't word process anything. I couldn't type anything. I couldn't write notes, you know. If I'm in my office or if I'm in my car, I'll pull over. If I'm, you know, I'll try, wherever I am, I'll try to write things down. And he'll give me things in a torrent. He'll give me the skeleton. He'll give me the framework. And there it is. And then I just have to, you know, fill in the blanks as he speaks to me. And when I said no, when I said yes, he immediately poured in the content of this message here. Just poured it into me. Now, he didn't tell me a specific date, but here I am today. Here I am today. And contrary to maybe popular belief, I don't get to choose what I speak about. I don't get to choose that. Now, I have pastor friends, and they say, well, I'm going to preach on this or I'm going to preach on that. And I understand what they're saying. They're giving me information. But I also have pastor friends who say, well, this is what I want to speak on. Not me. I don't get a chance to speak what I want to do. I'm under lock and key to just simply declare, thus saith the Lord. And again, I know Pastor Paulser was of that same action in his life. So the other day, I contacted Dr. Warner, And I said, Brother Warner, I need you to pray for me because I'm going to preach a message that I really don't want to preach at all. And I said, I know I have to preach it, but I don't want to preach this. But God has given this to me. And when I told him what it was, and Dr. Warner is, he's the national chairman of our fellowship. All right, he's the most humble man. And Brother Warner, if you hear this or see this, I love you to pieces. Dr. Warner is as humble gets, and yet he is a brilliant man. And he almost single-handedly saved our fellowship. Our fellowship was kind of moving towards kind of an old, stale status quo, and Dr. Warner absolutely revolutionized it. Just radically changed it. And I said, Brother Warner, pray for me. And when I told him what I was going to be preaching on, his text back to me was, wowsy. As only Brother Warner can do, wowsy. You know? So, you know, for some here, this message will probably cause some offense. For some, you might even be angry, you know? And if that's so, you're going to have to do what I do. You just have to take that up with God. You know, just like this with me, I just had to take it up with God and say, okay, Lord. And those of you with tender hearts, this message will move you the other way to almost an over-exaggeration and overcompensation towards me and my wife. And toward that end, I say, you don't have to. You're already with us. You're already supporting us. You're already on board. But for those tender hearts, and I could call out some of you, Sandys, on the back rows, Fetting and Klecker, or others, you know, I just want to relieve you just right here at the front. I just want to just relieve you. And any others of you that are of that, just that tender persuasion. So here it is. It's the message I've dreaded for 10 months, and especially these past 5 weeks. It's without question the most humbling and an uncomfortable message I've ever given. But here it is. And this is the title that the Lord has given to me in this series. If you have your little card here, there's 12 of these words that all start with a P. And for today's message, it's this: how to honor, serve, and bless your pastor. And I know I'm in good company on this message because I read about a man named Moses. And Moses had to say this about Moses. Because he wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. So Moses said this about Moses. Moses was a very humble man, more so than anyone on the face of the earth. How'd you like to have to write that? Your hand is moving. You're penning this with the papyrus. And you have to say, Moses, meaning me, I am a very humble man, more humble than anyone on the face of the earth. So when I have this title here, how to honor, serve, and bless your pastor, I feel I'm in good company. You know, the role of a pastor is unique. And there is really no comparison in the secular world to equate with this. It's just such a unique calling with unique responsibilities and challenges and aspects and realms to it. There's really nothing that you can compare to. It's kind of like a mother. How do you describe a mother's role? You know, I mean, a real genuine mother who really function as a mother. How do you describe a mother and her roles and her responsibilities? You know, someone once tallied and they said that if a mother was paid for all the jobs that she did, that she'd be worth over $160,000 a year. All the mothers said, amen. You know, and with a pastor, there's virtually nothing that we can compare this role to. So what I want to do is I want to stay just really close to the scriptures. And that's always been my MO. And the Holy Spirit has never been able to get me away from that. Again, I have friends who will, you know, you read their messages or you hear their messages, and they'll have 2, 3, 6 scriptures, and that's in the rest of the time. It's them speaking. I'm not going to throw stones at that, but I want to hear a lot more of what the Word of God says than what I have to say. I know I'm always going to be safe on that. I just know I'm going to be on the safe side on this. So I want to just stay really, really close to the scriptures for all references. And I'm going to use priests and prophets and kings and just general leaders from the scriptures as the basis for these verses here. And I know that the office of a priest is different than the office of a prophet, is different from the office of a king, is different than the office of a pastor. You know, I realize that, but they're still leaders that God uses, and I want to stay close to the scriptures for those references. The role of a pastor is very key in the life of a church. Hello. All right. In fact, God says that pastors are gifts to the church. All right? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11 says this: "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Well, when you give something to someone, we call that a gift. And God gave, and so he gave. So we know then pastors are considered to be gifts to the body. And can you already sense the uncomfortableness of what I'm preaching here today? All right. Paul, speaking to the church at Thessalonica, said this: "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." And then he puts this addendum on there and he says, "Be at peace among yourselves." In other words, don't be squabbling. Don't be fighting. Don't be throwing stones. Don't be sending emails. Don't be sending texts. Don't be sending letters. Don't be gossiping. Don't be slandering. Be at peace among yourself. Give respect to those who are over you. That's what Paul says to the church at Thessalonica. The New Living Translation says this: "Dear brothers, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work very hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peaceably with each other." Well, then, Paul writing to Timothy, and he writes 2 letters to Timothy, this young pastor, and he writes these letters as letters of encouragement. All right, now, Paul could lay into a person like few other preachers could lay into a person. I mean, he could lay you open with his tongue and his words to bring correction. He didn't do that to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor, and Paul put on his encouragement hat. He wore his encouragement hat to say, "Timothy, you can do this. You've got what it takes. Your grandma had what it took. Your mother had what it took. And you know what, Timothy? I'm convinced it's in you too." All right? And so Paul says to Timothy, he says, "Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself as an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of the scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Don't neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains." Listen to what Paul says. "Take pains with these things." In other words, give full effort, give full energy, give full attention. "Take pains with these things, Timothy. Be absorbed in them." Don't be casual about this. Don't be lazy. Don't be lackadaisical. He says, be absorbed in this calling that you have, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. In other words, don't just wing this. Don't just wing it. Pay attention to what you're doing. And then he says, persevere. Persevere in these things. For as you do, this will ensure salvation, both to yourself and for those who hear you. Jesus records this, or Matthew records this concerning Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." You know, again, when Paul wrote to Timothy and he said to persevere, to give yourself wholeheartedly, take pains with these things. That doesn't mean take the pains. In other words, just take every effort possible. Dig in and go after this, Timothy. And Matthew records this about the shepherd and the sheep. And he says, quoting from the Old Testament, "I'll strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." The enemy would love nothing more than to destroy a pastor in a church. And that's why you often see these things unfold in America today. I mean, it's just, we have a target extraordinaire on our backs. And not only on our backs, but on our chests and on our foreheads and everywhere on us. We are lit up by the enemy. I mean, just absolutely lit up by the enemy. And the enemy comes after us as ministers of the gospel in ways that you will never know. I mean, I just have to be honest with this. In ways that you will never, ever know because you're not in this role and responsibility. I mean, this week, oh my gosh. I mean, the full assault of hell came upon us on multiple different fronts. I had a situation to where I was breathless. I was sick for about 2 hours because of the assault of the devil. I mean, it was just like, holy cats. I mean, he nailed me. And I literally was incapacitated for about 2 hours. I couldn't think properly. I just couldn't process, you know. And I said, oh God, if you don't undertake here, I'm not going to make it. And on multiple fronts, I mean, this week, and again, I know. That's why I said to Andy when I came in the door, I said, hey, Andy, make sure whoever's on sound today, you get this message. Because the enemy would love nothing more than to cause this thing to not be heard by others. In fact, where's Nyla? Nyla, I want you to make about a dozen or 15 copies of this, and we'll just give it out free. And we're going to announce that in the bulletin next week. So you strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter. You know, some of these great churches in America, and they're abandoned. God's plan has always been one where he raises up a leader to undertake for a task. And you know, rarely is that plural. Just look through the scriptures. Rarely is that plural. God raises up a man or a woman to undertake a task. Let me give to you some examples of this. Noah was assigned to build the ark. Moses was assigned to deliver an entire nation out of Egypt. Elijah was called to correct that nation. Peter was called to lead the church. Paul was called to disciple the church. Oh, and by the way, the first Adam, first man ever made, that first Adam was called to subdue the earth. And the last Adam, Jesus himself, was called to save humanity. No small tasks for any of these men. I mean, just no small task. And that's why these men often felt the weight of the burden. Now, there's a difference between being burdened and having a burden. You know, we all are burdened. But there's a difference of having a burden. And so I want to look at every one of these men and look at the burden that these men faced. Noah was alone in that task of building the ark. Now, you can surmise that Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and Mrs. Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and Mrs. Noah, helped in the project of building that ark. But I challenge you to read your scriptures. There's not a word of them helping. Read the Bible. I can surmise, though, and I think I'd be correct, that seven other people helped. But nowhere does the Bible say that. Noah was alone in that task. Moses was second-guessed continually, nonstop, and you brought us out here to kill us. Moses was second-guessed continually. Elijah felt like he was the only one and wanted to die because of that. It's too much for me. Peter was untrained. He's a dumb fisherman. And what? He's going to lead the church? Dumb, smelly fisherman? Paul was abandoned. All have forsaken me, he said. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the world. Paul was abandoned. You know that first Adam? He didn't have any support. His wife didn't listen to what he said and went around him. And then the last Adam was forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me? Burdens. But God's plan still remains. He raises up men and women and simply says, get after it. And that's also one of the reasons why God discourages people for reaching for authority that isn't theirs. God literally discourages people from reaching for that supposed golden ring. I'll tell you, all it is, it's just simply a burden. And God literally discourages people from reaching for that. And then also for being critical of those who are in leadership. He says, don't do that. Don't put that on them. I've called them to this. They're mine. I'll speak to them. I'll correct them. This doesn't mean that anyone is above and without reproach from anyone. But I want to just tell you, biblically, God discourages reaching for authority and being critical of authority. The Bible says so. So when we look at that title that I gave to you a few moments ago, how to honor, serve, and bless your pastor, Pastor Kim and I have for many, many, many years endeavored to model what this looks like as it pertains to Pastor and Mrs. Paulzer. We've endeavored to model this to you for well over 30 years. And I can boldly declare to you with total confidence that every blessing and goodness that has come into our lives has come into our lives for two reasons. One, because of our generosity financially. We've been the largest giver in this church for close to 20 years. And it's not because we make the most, it's just that we know how to give. But doggone, some of you are getting close. So every blessing and goodness has come to us, one, because of our generosity, but secondly, for honoring and serving and blessing our former pastors. Every blessing that's come to us, we attribute to those two things. And Mrs. Paulzer has actually been reminding us of this in recent months here. And she says something like this: well, you know, the reason why Daddy and I could do what we've done is because we've always had you guys behind us. And you know, that's the truth. It is the truth. Without any arrogance, without any patting on the back, it is the truth that Pastor and Mrs. Pauls were able to do what they have done in large part because they had two very, very, very strong, resilient armor bearers, enabling them to do. So we've endeavored to model this for you. And the message I'm going to bring to you here now is not a message, is not a message of anger or resentment or poor me or it is not at all. It's simply an instructional message so that we can have the healthiest and most productive church and healthiest and most productive pastors that we can. All right? Because here it is. I know that not all of you will attend this church to the day you die. Your jobs will call you to Connecticut. You'll get a call to take care of a relative in Missouri. You'll get a job promotion that'll take you down to New Mexico. You know, your kids will make a move and you feel like, you know, I need to support my kids, and you move down to Georgia. So I understand that. And this is why, you know, in my initial no, not going to do that. When I finally came around and the pressure was let off of my arm, I mean, just like, oh, dang, you know, just get the feeling back in that arm. The Holy Spirit again just brought that to me that this isn't a plea. This isn't I'm not upset or angry. I know it's an instructional thing that we have endeavored to model. And now it's your turn at the bat. It's an instructional message so that we can have the healthiest and most productive church and the healthiest and most productive pastors possible. And when there is proper honor and service and blessing toward the pastors or the leaders, God favors that house. I wish Pastor and Mrs. Pauls were here because they would have amened that. But I'll just say it. When there is proper honor, service, and blessing toward the pastors or leaders, God favors that house. And that's one of the reasons why we are who we are as a church. Not exclusively, not only, but we have modeled this. And then there have been those who have come behind us and said, yeah, I want to do that too. And this church is the way this church is. And we have this financial miracle, not just this year, always and ever. Again, I want to say to you, we have never taken out a loan in this church. Never. I challenge you to find another church in this city that can say that. I mean, I just challenge any church to be able to say that. I challenge any church to be able to say that they give 30, 35, 40% in missions in their overall budget. I challenge any church to be able to say that. And that's due in part because we have learned to honor, serve, and bless our former pastors. And as a result, God gives favor. And we see that in the scripture, and we see that just in practical ways. Again, God sends people a knock on our door, says, I want to show some favor to you. Here's a check for $40,000. And we said, thank you and have a good day. And we looked at each other and said, what the heck just happened there? They came and said, do you still have a mortgage on your house? Yeah. God has blessed us in an unusual, a poor family. Says, we want to give you this. We didn't even open up until afterwards, and then, how'd you like to all have $40,000 given to you? Amen. The rest of you, I'm sorry about that. You won't get it then. but in large part because we know how to honor and serve and bless those who are over us. And then God just finds ways to funnel into our lives. So this is a day that I believe we as a church are going to pivot. There's going to be a pivoting here, and we're going to move in a new direction, a higher direction, a greater direction. So 3 points I have to give to you this morning: how to honor, serve, and bless your pastor. Instructional, honor. Honor. Honor is the attitude of the heart. Learn to show proper honor and respect to your pastors. You know, when I worked for Promise Keepers, I wasn't paid, but I was the Northwest Wisconsin chairman for about a year and a half when Promise Keepers was at its zenith. And one of our responsibilities is that we and the other guys who were part of that team, we were tasked to call every single church in Northwest Wisconsin. I mean, we're talking Baldwin and Hudson and Black River Falls and Rice Lake and Stanley, and do the math on that. And the hundreds of calls we made, each of us, I don't know if there was 5 of us or 7 of us. But you know, one of the things that I was just appalled at is in all those bazillions of calls I had to make, I don't recall probably 10 times, probably not even 5 times, where whoever answered that phone referenced them. And because we knew what the church was, we would say either Pastor so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so, Father so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, because these are titles. I don't think I heard 5 times whoever answered that phone reference them as that. It was Kevin. It was Richard. It was Susan. It was Bob. I don't think I heard 5 times them reference and give the honor of just even a title. Disrespectful. And again, when you don't honor, honor and blessing doesn't come back to you. That's just a kingdom principle. This isn't to elevate. Pastors are not China dolls to be put up on a shelf and venerated and bowed to and kowtowed to. No, 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 no. Heck no. But you do need to give basic honor. Biblical honor. God-ordained distinction of honor. Numbers 12 and 8 says this: when Aaron and Miriam were cracking on their brother, God says, "Come here." And he says, "With him, your brother, I speak face to face." Do you know what the King James translation says? Mouth to mouth. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that something? It says, "With Moses, I speak face to face, mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Honor. Honor. John 13:13. They're getting ready for Passover. Feet are being washed. And Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am." Just giving basic honor of titles. Just showing respect. I have never, ever, ever once in my life ever called Pastor Paulser Phil or Philip. Ever once in my life. And you've never, ever, ever heard me call Mrs. Paulser Vicky, other than just in intimate conversation. But from the pulpit, I have never, ever, 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 ever called her Vicky. Now to Philip and Joel, I'll call them Mom and Dad. But I've never, ever in my life addressed Pastor Paulser other than Pastor. I have never uttered the word Phil. It's never come across my lips. You just show basic honor. Just honor. We're instructing here. 1 Timothy 5:17. "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those whose labor in preaching and teaching." And I don't care what theologian you read, what commentary you read, and I'm not going to go down this path, but that literally means double financial honor. literally, truly means that. And there isn't a theologian on the earth who will view that otherwise. 1 Samuel 26. David is on the run because Saul is wanting to kill him. Saul has been removed from the kingship, and he says, I don't think so. And this punk is the reason why I'm going to kill him. God has put Saul into a deep sleep. And David's armor bearer says, you know what? I can take him with one thrust, and I won't need two. Say the word, and I'll run him through with one thrust. And here's what David says. Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed? Not this madman, not this crazy guy, not this lunatic, not this killer. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives, he said, the Lord himself will strike him, or his time will come and he'll die, or he'll go into battle and perish, but the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. And when Saul wakes up from his sleep and David makes himself known and says, hey, here's your water jug. Here's how he refers to Saul, my Lord the King. Even though he has been removed, even though he is chasing him down like a dog to kill him, here is your water jug, my Lord the King, showing honor. 1 Kings 4, one day Elisha went up to Shunem where a wealthy woman lived who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, behold, now I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there. Showing honor. And when we show honor to others, it only elevates us. It'll elevate you so that people can knock on your door and say, here, I want to give you this. Showing honor. Secondly, I'm preaching to you today. I'm giving an instructional message. The most humbling message I've ever had to give. The most difficult message that I've ever had to give. Number two, serve. Serve. You know, the responsibilities and roles at times are endless and beyond measure. Just endless. With no end in sight. And one of the chief roles of a shepherd is to feed the sheep. Do you know that that preparation takes time? It just takes time. Those of you who know what it is to feed a family, takes time. Anyone can rip open a box and there it is in 2 minutes. But to fix food, I mean, my wife cooks every single meal that we have. It takes time and effort. I don't say this with any complaint. I don't say this with any whining or carping. It's a miracle that any messages come forth here. And you know, and I want to say this to you. I want to say this with the greatest sincerity. I have a really, really hard time accepting praise from people. I don't know. That's just kind of my DNA. And when people come to me at the door and tears streaming from their eyes or just this, and they say, Pastor, that message, that was it for me. That turned a corner for me. I've been praying, and that word was the answer. I have a hard time receiving that, just in all honesty. Because I'm following in the footsteps of the mighty man of God, and I think, never will fill those shoes. But, you know, I don't have to. And so when I hear compliments and that word was revolutionary to me. And I'm thinking, if you only knew how that thing got scraped together. Oh my gosh. I mean, 5 minutes here and 7 minutes there and a half hour there. Messages take time. They just, you don't get these off the internet in books, and you know, you have to hear from God and you have to settle yourself, and we need more time. We need more time. A local pastor enrolled his son in our school this week, and he sat across from me and he says, you are the pastors of the church too, right? I said, yeah. And he said, how do you do that? And you know what? I didn't have an answer for him.
That's right, there is no answer.
I didn't have an answer for him. And not only did he mentioned that, and I'm going to turn off my mic because if Pastor and Mrs. Pauls are here, this message, I don't want them. So you can just keep recording. But so it's only the grace of God. It's only the mercy of God.
Yes.
And
all praise to God.
And no complaints on it.
That's right.
And like I said, no poor me, no pity. You aren't doing, no, I'm not saying that at all. At all. But it does take time. Here's what Luke records in Acts chapter 6. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Greek Jews, the Hellenistic, you know, the Greek Jews among them complained against the Jewish Jews, all right, the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked. The Jews were getting preferential treatment. The Greeks were getting shafted, essentially. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And simply put, and I give a hearty amen, we can't be doing the work here. We can't be doing all the physical work here. And all is the wrong word. We can't be doing lots of physical work here. We can't do that. Biblically, we can't do that. And they said, it's not right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God. And another translation says, and prayer in order to wait on tables. We just can't be doing those things. And there does have to be a coming up, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Again, just even getting messages ready. I like to say I have all kinds of time to study and prepare and to pray intensely and to visit homes and hospital visitations. But truth be told, just to be able to do my daily Bible reading and get messages ready, I'm keeping my nose above the waterline. And God wants that to change. God wants that to change. 1 Chronicles 12 and 18, David, again, is on the run from Saul, but God sends supporters to him. So we're looking at how to honor and serve. God sent servants to David. Then the Spirit came on Amasai, chief of the 30, and he said, we are yours, David. We're with you, son of Jesse. Success, success to you, and success to those who help you, for your God will help you. And these men came to David and said, we're with you. We're with you. He would go down and record this in verse 38. All these were fighting men who volunteered to what? To serve in the ranks, to do what was necessary, whatever is necessary. They came to Hebron fully determined to what? Make David king over all Israel. All the rest of the Israelites were also of what? One mind to make David king. And again, my number one calling and effort for the previous 30 years was to serve under and implement Pastor Paulser's vision. That was my life and breath for 30 years. But today is a pivoting point. Today is a pivoting point. Exodus chapter 17. When Moses' hands grew tired, the Israelites were fighting against the ites, the Amalekites. Joshua was leading the charge. Joshua was Moses' personal attendant. He would pour water on the hands of Moses. Joshua is fighting the battle in the valley. And the Bible says whenever Moses' hands were lifted, the Israelites would be winning. And when his hands came down, the Israelites were being defeated. And when Moses' hands grew tired, Aaron and Hur took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Amen. Aids coming alongside saying, "We'll help you, Moses. We'll help you in this battle here. You're not going to be alone on this. We're going to help you in this battle." Joshua was the personal servant of Moses. Elisha was Elijah's servant and shadow. The disciples went to Jerusalem to get the Passover meal ready. And Paul said he had nobody like Timothy. God doesn't want my wife and I working 80 hours a week. Doesn't want that. It's not right. There's a saying amongst pastors. It's only amongst pastors. But there's a saying amongst pastors that the church will allow the pastor to work as many hours as they would like and as he's willing to do. But that's not right. When we bought a truck, I'm not kidding, there are people, literally, sadly, who said, "Oh, now you can..." Like really? Really? You want to give like some more assignments here? Really? So whenever there's a project or an event that comes up, and again, I'm just trying to give you instruction because you all won't be in this church your whole life. But whenever a project or event comes up, there are two thoughts that immediately should come to your head. Number one, how can I be involved in that? I mean, your first thought should be, I could go and get a supply on that. I could roll out tables. I could vacuum afterwards. I could make some greeting cards. I could, you know, your first thought should be, what can I do? I wonder what I could do for that thing. I wonder how I could be involved. I wonder how much I can do in that event there. And then secondly, your thought should be, I wonder how I can alleviate Pastor from having lots of effort on that thing. Wonder how I can lessen his load or her load, their load. I wonder how I can make that less for them. That should be your first thought. Now again, I'm only teaching you what we've practiced. I'm only teaching you what we have practiced and we've endeavored to model to you. One of the things we're going to do, my wife and I are going to take some trips to foreign lands. Because we've had missionaries and preachers almost beg us, and at times almost berate us. Like, we've invited you several times. What gives on that? We've got wonderful pastor friends who can come in here and preach and teach and minister, but we're going to be taking some trips. We're going to be going to some conferences, not vacations, but just refueling conferences. Because it's not right to just work, and then work some more. So how to honor, serve, and lastly, how to bless your pastor. Now, we looked at this account earlier, 2 Kings chapter 4, and it says where a wealthy woman lived, and they built this little house for Elisha. And you can dismiss that and say, well, that's a wealthy woman. Okay, well, let's look at Luke chapter 8. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. God wants us to learn how to bless those who have been placed over us. And as I said to you at the beginning, do you see why this is an uncomfortable message? Do you see why some people could be offended and even angry at this? But I'm just doing what I'm asking you to take it up with the Lord. I was tackled. I was beat upon. I was assaulted. I was pounded on. Imagine being in my shoes. So Galatians 6:6 says this: Let him that is taught in the word share all good things with him that teaches. Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, said, If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a spiritual harvest from you? So we're not looking for, you know, you just to give money to us. No. You know, no. Absolutely no. But again, we are trying to teach you from personal example what we have done as it pertains to Pastor and Mrs. Paulzer. We've endeavored to fulfill these very things. And as a result of that, then God brings blessing to our lives. God brings wonderful blessings to our lives. Some practical ways, and we're going to close here. Find ways to sow into a pastor's life. And again, so many of these points, so many of these verses that I share with you this morning are so well done. Are so well done.
Yes.
If... Yeah. If you only knew the number of times that my wife and I have cried in appreciation, or when we do offerings and tithes, and hey, let's face it, we all know no one here is rich. And you see these checks written out for various projects. If you only knew, or when we do, you know, the year-end giving and all these tallies are made, and you're entering in stuff, how many times we are just blubbering and just saying, oh, God, what a church. What a church. So, again, this isn't a complaint. It's just a teaching that I had been commanded to give. Find ways to sow into the pastor's life. Mow their lawn, wash their car, run some errands, babysit their children so they can go to a movie, buy them the movie tickets, get some gift cards, give some hotel stays, food gifts, flowers, kind words of encouragement, cards, letters. You know, find ways to bless. And as I mentioned, this is a day where we as a church, I believe, are going to pivot. I believe pivot in a new direction. I believe God is going to speak into people's hearts and lives. I believe God is going to raise up and elevate. And we're going to move in a new direction. Let's stand together. I'm going to give three things on the screen here. Tonight we're going to come back. And we're going to hear one of my favorite preachers of all time, or at least of recent years. I haven't known him real long. As I've shared with you before, when I go to heaven, I'm hanging out in the hood. Now, my wife is going to be separate from me. She's going to be in the barrios. She's going to be with the Latinos. And she's going to be dancing and salsa. But I'm going to be hanging out in the hood. And Pastor John Gray, who's the associate pastor at Lakewood Church in Houston, Joel Osteen's church, is one of my favorite preachers. Oh, my gosh. And I heard just like literally 2 minutes of his message today, and I thought, oh, we're going to listen. And that brother, he's got about 75 on me. He's a big boy. And he sweats. Lord have mercy, that brother sweats. I mean, he just goes through towels, not a towel, towels, just, you know. But he's going to preach tonight. But I'm going to put this up on the screen here. And I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider these three points here. What ways am I honoring my pastor? what ways am I serving my pastor, and what ways am I blessing my pastor? What, and I mentioned this with Pastor Kim, I said, this is not a message for you to come to the door and say, oh, Pastor, what can I do? Hey, Pastor, I'm available. What can I do? I'm going to simply ask you in prayer to pray these things, these three things. What way am I honoring my pastor? What way am I serving my pastor? What way am I blessing my pastor? Again, you can look at this and say, that is so self-serving. That is so arrogant. That is so smug. I can't believe I've literally heard this today. And I understand. And then again, I can turn that paper over, and there can be some people who would literally, literally offer the very shirt off of their back, who would offer to serve 20 of their 24 hours, who would do anything. And there's those two extremes on this here. So this is an instructional teaching today. But what I'm going to ask you to do is I want each of us to come forward, everyone to come forward. We're just going to have a time of prayer as we close here. And I want you to pray. I don't want you to come and say, Pastor, hey, Pastor Kim, I'm available. What can I do? There will be some who we will literally just tell you what to do. Because the Bible speaks about appointing and calling, and there will be some who we will literally just say, we want you. So, Nyla, I'm just going to say this, and this just came to my heart. I'm going to ask you to increase your prayer load for us. Nyla is, the number of times we bail Nyla out in prayer, way too many to count. But I want to say this too. Every single time that we've ever opened the doors for the morning prayer, for 35 plus years, every single time. I know you can pray.
Yes.
And I know you've been a prayer warrior for us, but I'm going to ask you, Nyla, to step up on this.
Can I say a word?
Yep. Amen. So what I really want you to do, I am confident in the voice of the Holy Spirit.
I am too.
I am.
I am too. Whatever
and
he
God
says,
can put,
do it.
God can put thoughts and ideas and ways to fulfill one or more of these things in your heart.
Right.
He's just more than able, because he's spoken to us so many times through
That's
the
right.
years as it pertains to Pastor and Mrs. Paulser and even other people beyond this congregation, how to be a blessing, how to sow into their lives, how to serve them, how to minister into their lives. I am confident, I am supremely confident in the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so I believe God is going to, by the Holy Spirit, speak into your hearts. And again, this is not to, and just please hear me, this is not to venerate, this is not to kowtow, this is not to do that. But I will say this, we need more help. And I am supremely confident in the voice of the Holy Spirit. I knew that this day, that there'd be many people gone on vacations and trips. And so I tried to say, well, God, you know that. He says, you're going to preach this. Amen. So Holy Spirit,
yes.
You are God.
Holy Spirit,
you are God.
Shira
no 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 mo she
tiriririririya.
Koro she tera no no mo she
tiririririya.
You are God. You know everything. You know every heart. You know every mind. You know every body. You know every pocketbook. You know every strength of muscle, Lord. You know everything about us.
You know
every schedule. You know what we're made of. You know what we can do.
You know
what we can't do, Lord God. You know all those things. And so I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, that you will speak into each one of our hearts. Father, I'm asking you that you will speak into our hearts as to how we can properly honor the pastors who are over us, who will be over us in the future. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you that you will speak to us as to how we can serve those who are over us and those who will be over us in the future. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, that you will show us how we can bless those who are over us and those who are over us in the future. Holy Spirit, you are God. We loose you to speak and to deal and to draw.
We listen to you. We're not ignoring you,
we loose you, Holy Spirit, to have your way. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Darling, will you please close in prayer?
Yes. I say yes to you, God. I just want to say that even before you've even spoken. I want to be just like Mary, whatever you want from me.
Amen.
Whatever you
Amen.
Want. And it's always good then for me. Thank you, God. And we just kind of sass back now to that condemner who tries to say something else. And instead I say yes to the convictor, yes to the caller, yes. Bless your people today, God. Heal them, renew mm-hmm. them, restore them. Let hope rise. Let faith rise. Let miracles occur among us and
yes,
in us
Lord.
And through us.
Yes, Lord.
Use us, God, until you return to this earth. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.